Psalms chapter number 11, and I'm gonna preach as briefly as I can. That doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot, but I told the boys today in preacher class, or one of them after class, that they ought to always, I believe it was Brother Ryan, I said they ought to always prepare a full message. He is talking about preaching in class and how long would they have. I said, but always have the ability to trim it down if need be. In other words, if a preacher gives you 20 minutes to preach, you best preach 20 minutes. Amen? Yeah. Amen. That's obedience. So anyway, I'm going to try to be obedient to the Holy Spirit tonight and give you as much of this as He'll allow me to. But I read this verse of Scripture the other day, and I love reading in the book of Psalms. It's just, to me, it's just sweet. Amen? If you'll read the book of Psalms on a regular basis, I promise you it'll make you nicer. Can I say that again? I promise you if you'll read the book of Psalms more frequently, it will make you a nicer person. Amen. It really will. You ever heard the old saying, you are what you eat? Yes. Amen. You are what you read? Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. You eat something sweet, you might just get fat. Yes. Amen. Spiritually, amen, not physically. Hallelujah. Amen. You read the book of Proverbs frequently, you'll get smarter. Yes. Wisdom, amen. I guarantee it. Psalms chapter number 11. I'm going to look at one verse of Scripture, but I can't get my mind off of this economy situation. I can't get my mind off of the situation with the government. I talked to a missionary out in the parking lot of Old Charlie's today, and we didn't eat there. It was too long a wait, so we went to the Mexican restaurant and ate up there. But I met a preacher coming in. We were leaving. He was about to go in. And he said, brother, this is what he said. He said, you pray for us. He said, not just me, but every missionary you know. He said, we are being dropped by the hundreds. He said, churches are having to. He said, it's to the place where the economy is so bad and so many people and so many churches are out of work, and for the church to keep its building and keep the lights on, they're having to literally drop missionaries. He said, you pray God would add to our support. And before I walked off, here's what he said, and this is where my thought is going to come from tonight. He said, if there's anybody who can do anything about this, it's God. And I thought, man, you just preached a mouthful of truth in one sentence. If anybody can do anything about this situation, it's God. Amen. Did you know that God is able to sustain and care for His people even in the midst of storm and trial? Even in the midst of an economy meltdown or breakdown or recession, depression, whatever you want to call this mess we're in, God can take care of His children. Yeah. Amen. He had a prophet who laid by a brook, the brook Cherith, and he had a crow or a raven come by every day and feed that boy bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. What's that mean, bread and flesh? Sausage biscuits, man. Amen. No, I doubt it was sausage. He was a Jew. Amen. That was before the cross. He couldn't eat no pig. Amen. I'm glad I can. Hallelujah. Amen. It was steak biscuit or chicken biscuit. I don't know. But he fed him. God was able to take care of him. There was a little widow in the Bible. She was gathering up some sticks, and the man of God came by and said, make me a little cake. And she said, I've only a little bit of meal in a barrel and a cruse of oil, and I'm fixing to take these sticks and build a fire and fix it for my son. We're going to eat it, and we're going to die. He said, fix me some first. So that's a cold-hearted man. No, that's a man who believes his God can sustain his people. Amen. You know the story. She went in, she cooked the thing, and boy, it just kept on. And the meal stayed, the oil stayed, it didn't run out. Amen. All she had to begin with was a near empty barrel. Jesus sat on a hillside and there was a multitude of people in the front of him, and he looked at Andrew and he said, how are we going to feed this crowd? Andrew said, there's a lad over here with a lunch. But what is it among so many? And Jesus said, give it to me. I know the coffers are empty or near about it. I know the checking accounts may have a minus in the front of them. But if God can take a happy meal and feed 10,000 people, amen. If God can have a bird feed a man laying by a creek, if God can sustain a barrel of oil, a barrel of meal and a cruise of oil, He can take care of you and me. I want to give you a verse that I saw in Psalms chapter number 11, and I'm going to run through this, and this is something we all know already, but we need to be reminded again. Amen? In Psalms chapter 11, look at verse number 4. The Bible said the Lord is in His holy temple. You understand that verbiage right there? The Lord is in His holy temple. He's still on the job, boys and girls. He hadn't taken a vacation. He's not taking a nap. He's not taking a rest. He is still in His holy temple. Amen. The Bible said the Lord's throne is in heaven. He said He's in His holy temple and His throne's in heaven. I want to preach to you on this thought just for a few minutes and we'll go eat spaghetti. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Our choir used to sing that song several years ago. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. He talks about how the devil came by and gave him a hard time. Then somebody else come by and said, hey, my child, I'm still on the throne. Thank God. Hey, it may look bad around us. It may look bad behind us, in front of us, beside of us. But brother, if we'll look up, it looks great in my Father's house. Amen. Everything is all right in my Father's house. Why? Because He is still our King and He is still on the throne and He still loves His people and everything is in His control. Amen. I believe God's got a calendar and God's saying, right on time. He's an on time God. Yes, He is. Amen. He is an on time God. Ain't never been late with anything. Amen. He's on time. I don't know what He's doing exactly right now with the economy and the situation. He may be trying to get our attention. He may be trying to say, Happy Valley, you got to understand you need me. You got to get it through your thick head. It ain't you who does the work, it's me. Amen. He may just be trying to get us to realize how great and powerful He is. Amen. He's still on the throne. Why is He there, preacher? Let me give you some things right quickly, and I'll tell you why He's on the throne. He is there to reign in power. He is there to reign in power. Did you know if our finite minds could get wrapped around the infinite power of God, we'd blow up. Amen. I think sometimes we forget how powerful a God we serve. Let me say that again. Sometimes we forget how powerful of a God we serve. We mumble and grumble and groan and complain, but yet we are serving one. We call one Father who stepped out on nothing and said, let there be, and everything you see came to pass because of the matchless, marvelous power of our God. I said He is on the throne tonight, and He reigns in power. Amen. Matthew chapter number 28. We're going to look at a few scriptures tonight. I don't know how much of this I'm going to give you. Matthew chapter, 28. Matthew chapter number 28. Some of y'all have done beat me there. I'm working on it. Matthew chapter number 28. I want you to look at verse number 18. I want you to see that He is the absolute authority. He is the absolute authority. Now pay attention. Pay attention. Ain't nobody over Him.
That's right.
Amen. He reports to no one.
That's right.
He answers to no one. He owes an explanation to no one. He is the absolute authority. You remember the little series I did back last year? If you wasn't here, you ought to get that. I guess it's available. I don't know. But I did a series on Wednesday nights on authority. Every authority is under the authority of God.
Yeah.
Amen. You go on a job, especially a larger company, they got the little peons, and they got the shift supervisor or the floor foreman or whatever, and the lank chain of command goes all the way up to some man in a high up office. But you know what? He got his authority from an office way higher than his, and that is the office of God Almighty, because God Almighty is the supreme and absolute authority. Amen. Look at verse number 18. The Bible said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, watch this, some power. No, that ain't right. A whole lot of power. A bunch of power. No, what was it? All power. He came to them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, all power. It's all his. It's all his. He don't have some of it. He don't just rule in this area. He's not just over this and over that. He's over it all. Amen. Amen. He is the absolute authority. And we need to remember that. Somebody said, I'm scared to death about Obama. I ain't. Amen. Don't worry. I ain't worried one bit. Somebody said, what are you going to do? I'm going to pray for the man. Man, now wouldn't that be something if old Oprah said tomorrow, Obama got saved. Amen. Let's just pray he wouldn't join her new religion. Amen. But I really am. I'm going to pray for the man. I'm going to pray, number one, he gets saved, and he don't get saved. God will direct his path whether he knows he's doing it or not. Amen. Oh, yeah. Why? Because he is the absolute authority. Amen. He's the absolute authority. And we'll all know it one day, because everybody's going to answer to him. He's the absolute authority. Look at Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. Not only is he the absolute authority, but he's the authorized authority. Amen. Matthew chapter number 12, look at verse number 18. Or verse number 17. We need to read these two verses so you'll understand it. The Bible said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant who I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentile. Wow. God said that's the one to pick right there. My beloved, the one in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Do you know God never spoke from heaven and said that about nobody else? God never spoke from heaven and said that, made that statement about nobody else in whom I am well pleased. He said that about Jesus at his baptism. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hey, he was the chosen one. As a matter of fact, he wasn't just the chosen one. He was the only one. Amen. He's the absolute authority. He's the authorized authority. Look at Malachi chapter number 3. Last book of your Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 3. Y'all okay with turning to a few verses tonight? Malachi chapter number 3. Y'all got quiet right there because you're afraid I was fixing to hit that tithing thing. You think that's the only thing in Malachi, don't you? Amen. Do you know there's more to it than that? It don't just say, will a man rob God? By the way, it's still in there. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6. Watch this. I want you to see he's not only the absolute authority or the authorized authority, but he's the abiding authority. He's the abiding authority. Watch this. He said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why aren't they consumed? Because God doesn't change. Yes, sir. Amen. We're going to have an election every 4 years. Obama, the president-elect, will be our, what number will he be? 44th? He'll be our 44th president. In a little over 200 years, we've had 44 men in charge of this nation. Now, wait a minute. This world has been here for 6,000 years. And it still had the supreme authority for 6,000 years. And if it remains, it'll have it for the next 6,000 years. He will always be the one in control. He's always been the one in control. And he will always be the one in control. Hallelujah. Hey, Obama's done backed up on a whole bunch of stuff he said during his campaign. George Bush has backed up on a whole bunch of stuff he said. I mean, brother, but God said, I will never change. I am the abiding authority. If I said it then, I'll say it then. Amen. I'm not going to change about it. Amen. He's still on the throne to rule in power. Amen. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 21. I'm just flying through this to give you these scriptures tonight. Proverbs chapter number 21. What are you saying, preacher? I just want you to know that God's still in business. He hadn't forgotten where you are. It's not that he don't know about your problem. Could be he caused it. I don't know. Amen. He's still on his throne to reign in power, but he's still on his throne to rule among men. Amen. Watch verse number 1 of Proverbs 21. Watch what he said now. Obama don't even know this, but he said the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And that's pretty strong right there. He said the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. And whether he knows it or not, he said, I'm going to turn him whithersoever I will.
Yes, sir.
Well, y'all got quiet. I hope you're thinking. Wow.
Amen.
Amen. He's here to rule among men. He rules among mighty men. He rules among mighty men. I'm glad God can speak to the heart of a president. Amen. We went to, we were talking about it today with Brother Grissom and his family. They were here from Maryland, and 13 years ago, the first time we went there, one of them big old boys of his was 5 years old, first time that I preached for him. And me and my wife and kids, we drove up there, and they went and toured Washington, D.C., but we went to Mount Vernon. Anybody know what Mount Vernon is? That's the home place of George and Martha Washington. And we went there, and I'd read stories about him, and I saw his study and his desk where he sat and read his Bible every morning. And I could just see that old president, our very first one, down on his knees in front of that desk talking to God. We went in a gift shop, and they had a big picture of him kneeled down by his horse in the snow with his hat to his chest talking to God. I'm glad God can lead and rule great men, aren't you? Amen. Thank God for men in leadership and power who trust God for their direction. Amen. And by the way, that's how our forefathers ran this nation. Amen. He ruleth among men. He rules among mighty men. Look at back up to Psalms 102. Psalms 102. Not only does he rule among mighty men, I want you to notice he rules among lowly men. Psalms 102, verse number 17. Watch what he said. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. I'm glad he's not a God who only listens and directs the mighty, but he listens and directs the lowly, such as I. Amen.
Amen.
He's still on his throne to rule the mighty men and the lowly men. Take your Bible and go to Romans in your New Testament. Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter number 14. Y'all okay?
Yes,
I'm glad he's still on the throne tonight, aren't you?
Yes,
let me say it. I'm glad he's still on the throne tonight, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. Boy, you better be glad. If God takes a break, we're in trouble. Do you understand? Do you understand the desolation we would experience if God removed his hand for 5 seconds?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. You're right, preacher.
If God stopped for 5 seconds doing what he does,
yeah,
it'd be over.
Yes, right. Yes, sir, bro.
5 seconds. You know how many prayers are prayed in 5 seconds? How many lives are saved in 5 seconds?
Come on,
amen.
That's right.
You say that's stretching it a little bit. No, I don't think so. God turned his face from this planet one time and it went pitch black. God did this just one time and it went pitch black. and stayed that way till he opened his eyes again.
Amen.
Tell me, brother, 5 seconds, God not looking.
Amen.
We're in trouble, amen?
Yes, sir.
He rules among the mighty men. He rules among the lowly men. But not only that, he rules among all men.
Yeah.
Chapter 14 of Romans, verse number 11. He said, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." How about that? I'd rather do it now than later, wouldn't you?
Right.
Amen. I'd just rather go ahead and hit my knees right now while I've got breath in my body, while I still have a will, amen, and say, "Yes, you're Lord and you're God. I'm going to confess who you are and what you are." But on that day, when that crowd said, "Lord, Lord," he said, "Depart from me. I never knew you."
Amen.
Amen. Some guy full of pride said, "Nobody's going to tell me what to do or where to go. The Lord will. The Lord will."
Amen.
This slang language that people use and tell people, "Oh, you go to Hades." Nobody has the authority to tell you that but God. And if you die without Him, that's exactly what He'll tell you. Amen. Amen. I hope y'all all right tonight. He's still on the throne to reign in power. He's still on the throne to rule among men. Let me give you one more. Luke chapter number 10. I'll probably just quit right here. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. I want to read this story. I sure do like it. I can relate to it. Luke chapter number 10. He's not only on the throne to rule or reign in power or to rule among men, but he's still on the throne to recover the fallen. To recover the fallen. Look at verse number 30. Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jericho, or from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him." How about that? Amen. Mm-mm-mm. He's on the throne to recover the fallen. How many of you ever fail? Come on, be honest. If you can't raise your hand right there, you lying.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody in here that can't say, "I've never messed up since I got saved," unless you just got saved a minute ago.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now I want you to notice what happened to this poor fella. In verse number 30, the devil beat him up. You ever had the devil beat you up?
Yeah.
I mean, brother, left him, the Bible said, half dead.
Yeah.
You say, what's that mean? Half dead.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, you ever felt like the devil has beat you down and beat you down, and life has beat you down, and situations have beat you down, and circumstance has beat you down, and walked off and left you laying there? Some of you are there right now. But I'm glad I serve one who's on the throne to recover the fallen tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to just shout and say, "Thank God, I'm glad He cares for those laying by the roadside half dead." The devil came by and beat him up. Religion came by in verse 31 and passed him up. Uh-huh. That's what a lot of that religious crowd will do. These churches in this area, when the lowlifes come in, they've been actually told, "Happy Valley would be a good place for you." I used to take offense to that. That's a compliment, brother. I'm glad the lowlifes of Villa Rica can come and sit in a building with a bunch of more lowlifes who are just saved by grace, who have just been lifted from a fallen. Good God Almighty, somebody ought to shout, "Hey, amen." I'm glad when religion turns its nose, when the devil beats you up, Jesus came by and picked him up. Amen. Somebody here, get happy with me. Let's have church on that, can't we? Amen. The devil beat him up. Religion passed him up, but thanks be unto God, Jesus picked him up. Lord, just shout, boy. Say, so what are y'all hollering about? We've been picked up a time or two. I mean, we've been picked up a time or two. I don't know how many times he's went out, found that lost lamb, that one that wandered away, throwed him up over his shoulders and brought him back to the fold time and time and time. I'm glad he sits on the throne to recover his fallen children. Woo! I think it may be the Marine Corps. Brother Greg, there you are. I don't know if it's the Marine Corps or the armies that says no man left behind. Who is that? Is that all of them? They all say it. That's a pretty good motto, man. That's a pretty good creed. No one left behind. I'm glad that's Jesus' motto. I'm glad when that trumpet blows, ain't none of his going to be left, amen. Hallelujah. He lifts us here in our worries and our trials, but one of these days he's going to lift us plumb up where he's at. Hallelujah. I'm glad he lifts the fallen tonight. Aren't you? He's sitting on his throne tonight to reign in power, to rule among men, and to recover the fallen. My. You ever had Jesus pick you up when you didn't even ask him to? While you were still just wallering in it, he came by where you was. Woo! Hallelujah, man. That old good Samaritan didn't even ask the boy what happened. The Bible says he's half dead, man. Well, how'd you get down there? What's your circumstance? You spend all your money on booze? What'd you, I mean, did you deserve to be where you are? I mean, let us decide whether or not we're going to help you. You got to meet all our criteria before we can get you in. No. The Bible said he just picked him up. He just came by, saw the man, a bloody mess on the side of the road, said, my soul, man, you need help. And picked him up, set him on his own beast. Amen. Guess where he brought him? Yeah. To the inn. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. He said, I got to go away. But I'll come back. My, there's some preaching that, boys. Sound like John chapter 14 to you? Jesus picked us up out of the muck and the mire. Left for dead, Ephesians chapter 2. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, we wasn't half dead, we was all dead. Jesus picked us up, breathed life back into our dead soul, brought us to the end, set us on a pew, said, Brother Eddie, you preach to him, and when I get done building the new house, I'll come get him and just take him home. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God he recovers his fallen. Amen. I y'all forgive me and pray for me. I love war movies. I do. I like blood and guts and shoot them up. And man, Brother Todd's got a song that explains it best. He played it for us in his truck yesterday. Some old fella he's talking about, he's singing. He said, I'm not all this great spiritual leader, but you know, I'm not lost from going to hell either. He said, I'm somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne. Brother Todd played that for me yesterday. I thought, my soul. We walked around singing it all day before the wedding yesterday. Amen. But I picture them war movies. You ever seen them guys come running out of the smoke in the battle? Or the faces are all black and the fires are blazing. The bullets are going everywhere. And here comes one old soldier out of the fire and he's got one on his back. Amen. I feel like that's what the Lord does from time to time. He just runs into the fire and he runs into the battle. He can because he's bulletproof. Thank God. He can run right into the mess we're in, right into the face of the devil, pick us up, put us on his shoulder, and bring us home again. Hallelujah. The devil beat him up. Religion passed him up, but thank God Jesus picked him up. Well. He's still on his throne to reign in power. He's still on his throne to rule among men. He's still on his throne to recover his fallen. That he's still on the throne to reward his children. Amen. Matthew chapter number 6. The Bible said he's going to reward us openly. But now, you say, what's that mean? I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. I think he means he's going to reward us
where everybody else can see.
Amen.
And when he does, we need to give him credit. Amen. Amen. Y'all don't believe this or not, but we got a check coming. Don't dry up on me. I'm not being prophetic. I've just been praying. We got a check coming. I believe with all my heart. I don't know when, but I believe God's going to pay this thing off. Nod your head with me. Agree with me. Amen. And when we do, when it happens, I don't care. I don't care if it's Bill Gates who sends the money. I don't care if it's Ted Turner. I told you that night. I didn't care if it's drug money. We'll spoil the Philistines. Amen. Okay, well, I don't care if it's lottery money. I don't care. We're going to hold that check up and say, look what God did.
Yeah.
We're going to put our finger over the name on the check and say, this is what God done. Yeah. Amen. God wrote us a check. Amen. Yeah. You say, how you know? I ain't even asked nobody for no money. I ain't called up no millionaires and said, hey, we need some money. But I've been calling the one who's in control of the millionaires. And said, hey, I don't run with that crowd much. Ever. I ain't got none of them's phone number or address, but you know them. You made them. They rich because you allowed them to be. I need you to call one of them up and tell them, brother, they need some help down there. Amen. He's going to reward us openly. Amen. He already has over and over and over and over and over again. Psalms chapter number 68, he's going to reward us often. Not only is he going to reward us openly, he's going to reward us often. Amen. Psalm 68, you turn in there, Brother Charles. You get it, read verse number 19. He's going to reward us often. Ain't you glad God didn't just bless you once? Aren't you glad God didn't just bless you twice? You know how we are, we're human. One blessing wears off after a while. I mean, he's got to keep on blessing so that we know he's around and he's still in business. Every day I walk, I can say, okay, I see you there, God. I see your hand there. I see your hand there. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's going to reward us often.
Amen.
Read that verse, Brother Charles.
Blessed be the Lord, who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation.
How you like that? Daily. What are you saying, preacher? You got a reward coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
You better be where you're supposed to be. You might miss it. Yeah. Amen. You better be doing what you're supposed to be doing. You might miss it.
Right,
you got a reward coming tomorrow. How you know? The Lord said it.
Yeah.
It might be that phone call from that application you filled out.
Yeah.
Brother Wayne, it might be that job. Brother William, it might be that job. Brother Chris, it may be the work you bid it on. Brother Todd, it may be the job you bid it on. Hey, he's going to reward you.
Amen.
He's going to reward us openly, often. Let me just give you this. He's going to reward us on time. On time. On time. Half the time we spend wondering where he's at. He's on time. He's on time. Amen. He's right on time. Last point I'll give you, and I'll just give it to you, and I'm done. Brother Todd, y'all come on, get us a song. He's still on his throne tonight, church, to reign in power, to rule among men, to recover his fallen, to reward his children, and he's still on the throne tonight to reprove the wicked. God's long-suffering, yes, he is, but it does have an end. Amen. A lot of people got mad. News media pitched a fit. I didn't agree with everything Jerry Falwell said and did. But when that plane flew into the Twin Towers, when that plane hit the Pentagon, when that plane hit the ground in Somerset, Pennsylvania, Jerry Falwell said on Larry King, God is trying to get this nation's attention. King said, are you saying God caused this? He said, I'm saying God allowed it. America needs to wake up.
Yes, sir.
He was dead right. He was dead right.
when the earthquakes and the fires hit California.
Yes,
sir. So that's just a freak of nature. I wonder if it's a freak of nature that night Jesus got in a boat with them disciples and started across Mark chapter number 4. Started across that Gadarene Sea. I wonder if that big storm, you reckon that's just freak of nature? He will say, hey, this stuff these people's doing in the society that they think they're getting away with, messing with children, murdering babies, destroying countries, killing Christians just because they're Christian. And if that ain't them Muslims' agenda, I ain't standing here. O.R.G. Lee, one of the most famous messages he ever preached, payday someday. There's going to be a payday for the righteous. There's also going to be a payday for the wicked. Don't worry. They'll get theirs. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense. You know what that means? I will pay you back. I will get even. Amen. Aren't you glad he's on the throne tonight? Aren't you glad? Amen. Stand to your feet. Let me give you this last little illustration. I'll close. You say, I don't understand why things are going like they're going. People are allowed to get away with what they're doing. Here's what Jesus said when they came to arrest him in the garden. He said, this is your hour. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. 3 days from now, I'm going to do what I got to do. 40 days from that, I'm going to do what I've got to do again. I'm going to sin. He said, I can't tell you the exact day or the hour, but a little more than 2,000 years after that, I'm going to do what I got to do again. 7 years after that, I'm going to do what I got to do again. And then we're just going to shout forever. He said, you go ahead. Do what you got to do. Payday's coming. Payday's coming. God dealing with your heart tonight. Maybe you just want to thank him that he's still on the throne. Maybe you've forgotten that he's really in control. Y'all go ahead and sing, Brother Todd.